is not considered a full-fledged Jew to the extent that we're obligated to punish him for the acts that he performed when he ran away. Ve'eved kivhei madami, kol zman shu tachad yad rabo chayav bo lahanhigo b'chol ha-mitzvot, ושביתות שנהוגות בעבדים, כשם שחייב בין ישראל במצוות בהמתו, כיוון שברח אינו מחויב במצוות, וכל שכן כשנשבע וחזר בו. ועכשיו שחזר בו, חזר למצוותו כשאר הגאון. So this is a tshuva which is of course quite the opposite of the one that we saw before. The one before said equated such a slave with Yisrael Meshumad. And here he's trying to divorce any responsibility of the Jewish community for the enforcement of Jewish law on slaves.
No, the whole thing is confusing with the way we're going now. I mean, he is or he isn't.
That's right. It is confusing. And that's why I'm reading these without comment. Because we will see that on every one of these questions we'll have three mutually contradictory positions, but it's giving us a picture of life in these communities, which we're getting straight from the source. I'm not imposing any filter on this.
These really practical questions, or maybe theoretical questions.
What are you talking about? These are all practical questions. There are no theoretical questions.
Then
these are not all. No, none of these questions is theoretical. These are all real, honest, practical questions. But they have different answers. So, of course, let's take a look at the next tshuva. It may be hard for you to imagine, Mel, what life was like.
No, it's not hard. I'm just sure that there are certain ones of them could be really theoretical. It sounds like they're theoretically posed as opposed to.
No. I have no reason to assume that. Shifcha gatzrit, shelo kibla latzma likanet ladat, ve'tvila bal kalcha. You bought a Christian slave girl. Here it says Nutzrit. It doesn't require any of my emendation. A Christian slave girl was bought. She didn't want to convert, and you just simply took her and forcibly pushed her into the water. Right? Mutal lechol mimeno sheim vashelet imla. Ve'im hi osa yayin esech imla. To what extent is this forcible conversion valid or not? מצינו בסוף מתניתה שתחילה גר בית גאיה, אחר שהזכרנו דברים מפורסמים בקיבול הדת והתפילה מול בסוף, אחד גר ואחד עבד משוחרר, ונקיים אחר היות שהם רצו ללמוד למה העבד צריך לקבל עליו, וזהו שפת הרבנן, והרב שמעון לא זאת אומרת גר צריך לקבל עליו, אבל עבד אין צריך לקבל עליו, הרבנן הם האומרים בכל אותם התנאים שמקצתם קיבול מצוות ותפילה, אחד גר ואחד עבד משוחרר, אבל הלוקח עבד מן השוק, לדברי הכל צריך לקבל עליו. ולא סגי לוי כנסו כדת בתפילה בעל כוחו. So he maintains very explicitly that there has to be a voluntary act on the part of the other. וזאת השפחה הנוצרית, היא כנוצרים לכל דבריה, בעשיית יין נסך ותבשיל, ולא תועיל תפילת הבעל כוחו שום דבר. ואין מחלוקת, אלא במקיימים ואין מקיימים. The only dispute is whether you can keep such a servant in the house, or how long you can keep her in the house. But she's certainly a forced conversion, has no validity whatsoever, ve'ein lahamina.
She can't make breakfast, that's for sure.
Right.
Cheerios.
Yeah,
the bad she can make
the breakfast. Rav Amram ישראל שקנה עבד או שפחה ושהה עם הזמן הרבה ואינו רוצה להתייהד. מותר לשהותו אצלו כשהוא בגיעותו או לא. Same problem that we saw on the previous page. כך ראינו, כל ישראל...
Here he says לשיהד, so that's even the...
It's the same thing, לתגייר and לתייהד is the same thing. It doesn't mean any difference. כך ראינו, כל ישראל שקנה עבד או שפחה ואינו רוצה להתייהד, אסרו לשעתו אפילו חודש אחד ואפילו יום אחד. אבל אם מתייהד לאלתר ואומר לו למול ואומר לו, המתינו לי עד שעברי מן החמה או מן הצינה, מותר. If the slave is willing to convert, but he's simply afraid of the operation of circumcision, and says, wait till I get over my cold, or my fever, it's permissible. אמרו חכמים הלוקח עבד מן הגויים מגלגל עמו 12 חודש עם מל מוטב ועם לב חוזר מוכו לגויים וכשמוטב לשעתו י' בייס חודש על עסקי מילה אבל על עסקי ייהוד אסור לשעתו כל עיקר. So he gives a very stringent interpretation to the Gemara, the extreme opposite of Rav Haga. He's saying that the 12-month period is because it's quite understandable that an adult slave that you bought might be fearful of the actual act of the operation of circumcision. So therefore, you give him a 12-month period for him to get up his courage. Remember, this is performed without anesthetics. You give him a period of 12 months to get the courage enough to do it. But if he refuses to become Jewish, you can't even keep him for a day.
But he has no source for that.
That's his interpretation of the Gemara. Megalgalim, that's his interpretation.
No.
Okay. Rav Haigon had no source for what he just said because it was a complete contradiction of the Gemara. Okay. Here's still a third opinion on the same topic. The summary of these positions. Kishaevit rotseli mol asulak vomin hamila. So he's giving now a fourth interpretation of the Gemara. He's saying that this business of keeping a slave for a 12-month period is in a situation where the slave insists that he will never be circumcised. Under those circumstances, the owner has 12 months either to change his mind or to get rid of him. But if there was no agreement, no insistence on the part of the slave at the time of his acquisition that he didn't want to be circumcised, then you don't even get this 12-month leeway. Okay? Next. Usha sha'altem. Ever orel shaharav biyad Yisrael. Here, the owner did not want to circumcise the slave. Inami deratza Yisrael adonolam olo ve'ever einu makaber. Mocher la'altar o megalgeli moshnei masachodesh. Do you have to get rid of the slave immediately, or do you have this 12-month period? I'm astonished, he says, by this first question. Certainly there are slaves who do not want to become circumcised, so I understand the second half. Ela rishona, she'ein rabo rotze limolo, efshar kein, eved moser atzmo limolo v'rabo eino rotze, v'alo chova alav lamolavda. How is it possible for a Jew not to want to circumcise a member of his household? So you see, I mean, the idea of a servant or something like, you know, the temp doesn't enter into anybody's mind. If the man is a member of your household, you have to see to it that he's circumcised. Probably, he says, that the reason that this man doesn't want to circumcise this slave is because he's really engaged in the slave trade. He's not interested in maintaining this man as his honest slave. He knows that if he circumcises the slave, and he's no longer allowed to sell him to a guy. And that's the ulterior reason, that's the hidden reason why he doesn't want to do it. And the Fichach, he says, Asur lo lamachor l'goy, I therefore prohibit the sale of this person to Goy. Elo yimolo tot ki lav yim kohen al Yisrael. V'yasur l'shtamesh bo ad shiimo. V'ligrom of a... I don't know what that next word is. K'chol Yisrael me'achar she'ha'ever eino mi'akev al abo v'abo eino mi'akesh amul bi'abdo. So he's outraged by the idea that someone should try to engage in a slave trade or to maintain slaves so that he would be allowed later to sell them to a non-Jew. He says, either circumcise this fellow or sell him to another Jew, and you can't use him until you've made up your mind which one or the other you're going to do and actually do it. Now, as far as the second question, suppose the slave doesn't want to become circumcised. So simply, again, straight out, a prohibition against keeping in your house a non-Jewish slave, an unconverted slave.
How about not in your house? You just like the warehousing them, or you run an inventory of slaves?
Your household.
Well, we'll come to that.
Like a business.
Is it numbered backwards?
I have some of them backwards, yes.
We don't read them.
I don't know. If it doesn't say, I don't know. Let's turn to the next page. Let's go to the second shiva on the next page. Mi she'eino baki b'halacha v'etvil et abdo ba'atzmo yatsa abdo to eved l'cheirut olo. Strange question. Lo pirashtem man istapek lechem. It's not clear what you're asking. Im mishum shetvilo hu ba'atzmo b'lo shalosha edim, utzvach lechem, eino tzarich eved l'shlosha. You don't require beis din for the immersion of a slave. Gehu shetzarich shlosha, kishemavakesh likanes tachat kanfei ashkina, v'yotzei migiyoto l'yisraelit, aval eved ein tzarich shlosha. V'yi kashe lecha haktani echad geh v'yechad eved meshukha, hu be'eved shemotzio rabo l'cheirut. והיא משום זו שאמרו חכמים הלוקח עבד מן הגר וקדם וטבל לשום בן חורים קנה בעצמו בן חורים הטעם שטבל עבד מעצמו שלא בפני רבו ושלא על פי רבו אבל זה שאינו בקי והתפיל את עבדו כיוון שהוא בעצמו התפילו עבדו גמור הוא ולא יצא לחירות ואם מי שאינו בקי בהלכות תפילה כיצד מתפילים את עבדו משום עבדו תצרח לכם. If you want to know what the laws of tefillah are, tzrut letot for b'mayin, etc., etc., he tells you just how far he has to go under the water, and so on. Okay, next page. Here is a bit of a shocker, very straightforward. Rav Nachshon Gaon, when is he on our list? That's about 870, right? Rav Nachshon, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Ushi Sha'altem. במקומנו, רגילים במקומנו לקנות עבדים בזול, ואין להם סחורה כמותה. We're in the business of buying slaves cheap and then presumably selling them at a profit. מהו למוכן לאלתר, שאין עומדים בדין ישראל כלל אלא אחד ממאה, ויש לנו בהן רווח הרבה. There's a huge profit in the slave trade. These are only 1 in 100 of these. After all, the Gemara says very explicitly that you're not allowed to sell a slave to a guy, right? And here they're demanding from Rav Nachshon Gaon a permission to engage in the slave trade. And sorry to say, there's no moral revulsion or approbation here. Since he says these slaves have never any intention of accepting the mitzvot, so again, this is a ruling completely in contradiction to the Gemara. I think the Gemara didn't have any idea that there could be such a thing as Jews engaging in the purchase and sale of slaves, and the idea of selling a slave to a guy was inconceivable in the time of the Gemara, and here you have a blanket heter for Jews to engage in this disgusting but profitable business with, unfortunately, no sign of reprimand on the part of Nachshon. I suppose we don't want, let this tshuva fall in the hands of Farrakhan or others. Hmm?
Jeffries is
there. Yeah, okay.
Rav Shchira, Ushi Sha'al 10. Ruvain Hayelo Eved Veshivcha. Ruvain had a male and a female slave. Vaholidu Ben, and they had a child. Amad Ruvain Venatalata Ben Vechnisola Veta Sefer Vakarata Rat Nuviim. Vahayu Otana. So here you have the opposite case. A kindly master who looked after the welfare of his male and female slaves, and in fact took their child and put them into school. The slave was in charge of the whole household, was running the financial affairs. They performed an actual marriage between the slave and the slave girl. The court seems to try to set the slave free in order that there should not be any financial complications. And now the son wants to claim him. Kach ra'inu. She'oto ha-ben she'chniso levet ha-sefer v'kara v'shana lo yofeh asar abo shelimdo. Deha amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi asur la'adam shelamed et avdo Torah. V'af al pichein eved gamohu v'ikasher adetanya that you called them up to the stand, to the yomel. If they had sibur, the huvadai kagon d'tzali be'asara v'karav b'sefer Torah amunin d'shabi rabbi ben korin. Midu havi atfilin t'yama b'sharabo haniyechlo tfilin d'yatzal l'cheirut. Aval ben eved ze, adayin eved hu, ba'aviv v'imo, kol b'nehem avadim gmurim heim, ולא יפה עשו אותו ישראל שברכו להן שהוציאן שם שמיים לבטלה. יורכי אמרינן ושרבו הסיעו אישה, דווקא אישה בת ישראל, ונפק לחירות, וכמי מכמי לבנמר לאיסור. הלכך לא נפק לחירות עד הנה. So Rav Shira Gaon is coming out against the tolerant and kind attitude of the slave master for the slave.
Again, there's no real status change. So what good was all the Tefillah and Eichel?
Well, these were slaves. They were the status. The question is whether they were set free. Rav Shira Gaon opposed this idea of being of smudging a line between what an Eved was and a Ben Chorin.
And they still went through the Tefillah and Mila.
At some time past, or maybe their parents did. They certainly went through Mila, yes, because they were after. Let's go to the next page, the second Shiva on the next page. Sal Shalom, when is that? Where does he appear on the list?
848.
Shivcha Goya, Sheyodat B'tev Avodah Zara Shel Notzvim. You have a Christian slave girl. Bet vila adona bal kocha. The master forcibly immersed her in the mikvah. Kevan she'ein maskeret shem avodah zarah ve'eino doren noderet b'shem avodah zarah harei hi ke'eved kasher ve'ein osa yayin nesach ve'ofa u'mavashelet bi'ochlim mi'bishula v'shotin mi'yada ve'im v'kach klum. Ve'im tomar mutnei she'et vila bal kocha Ein tvila bal kocha poselet ela biyachat toar v'geirim v'avadim v'shukorim kishetovlim ha'otziyan l'cheirot u'lachnis li'yisraelut tzvichin l'kabar elem ha'olu toar v'yol mitzvot ad heinah. So here you have a clear-cut ruling, exactly the opposite of the one that we saw before, namely you can have a forcible conversion of a slave without her will whatsoever.
Let's go to the next page, page 21.
So why couldn't they, well, that's a female, why couldn't they be included in this, in a minyan?
No, the Eved is not a minyan.
It says with Kabel all mitzvahs.
Yeah, he's a Kabel all mitzvahs, but he's only an Eved. He's not a minyan. Remember, an Eved doesn't count for a minyan. Just like a woman doesn't count for a minyan. She's a full-fledged Jew, but it doesn't help. Okay.
Get for something.
All right, Shesha Alta, this is Rav Natwanai gone. So this is again the middle of the 9th century, right? 853, according to my list. V'Shesha Alta, Shehirbu Anashim Mimukomot Liknot Shvachot Yifot Mare. Many men have bought beautiful slaves. V'Heim Omrim Kehem Konim Otam La'Avdut. They say that they bought these slaves to clean the house. But they're suspected of having purchased these beautiful slave girls for other purposes. Can we allow the masters to keep these young slaves or not? And if someone says, I've already set my slave girl free and she is like a concubine to me, im nihiye shomim lo, do we listen to him? Im nachkor al hadavar ad sheyotzi get shichru shekatav lo v'yavi raya shekidsha, do we force the master to produce a document of manumission? V'im yesh levetin lihizdakek ledavar v'lachakor alav, o im yanichu kol adam ala munato. Or should we just use the honor system and let every person be believed by what he says? So Mishu Chashud Yamud B'Chshado V'Hanehman B'Nehem Muta. Okay. I think I will skip the answer. You can read it at your leisure. The question is more interesting than the answer. All right.
Good for Shabbos speech.
Let's turn to the next page. Sav Shalom. So that's again the middle of 848 or thereabouts. Ushi Sha'altem. Eved Tzarich Lahatvilo Kiger Olo. Do you need three people? Do you need a whole Beit Din in order to put the ger to the mikvah or not? Beferush lo shamanu shetzarich tvila ki ger. We have no explicit source that says that ela mikir yamin min yamin avdei do avashi masrei lo avinu lo avacha shma min eilo sagi le bachad vekeven de bachad lo sagi v'nachal le michad lo matzat mukmi eilo betlata ki ger. So he says you do require three, in contradiction to the previous tshuva.
Can the master be one of the three?
Yes, sure, why not? V'chi tema shani ger de kanafik mi yuto v'ayu l'kdusha. And you might think that, after all, a ger becomes a Jew. Eved nami kama mitzvot yesh shechayav ben ki Yisrael. V'na'ase eved ki ger v'tzorot l'shlosha. V'yachar sha'olam mitvilato, So the, for us, startling thing here is you see that the Avadim used to perform Shkita. Remember when we were learning Hilchos Shkita, I had to strain to produce a source from Italy, from what was it, the 16th century, where a woman got a certificate for the right to be a Shochet, right? But here we see that in the time of the Gaonim, the Shkita was performed in the household, and it was actually the people who were Avadim who would perform the Shkita on the animals. So as an aside, this is an interesting comment. But in any event, this is again in contrast to the previous Shkita. Okay? The next tshuva is similar to Rav Haigan's that we started with. And then I added one from a slightly later period. Really, it's the same as the end of this period, but a tshuva of the Rif, where you see that the whole world has changed. Up through the time of the Gaonim, the idea that you could have a non-Jewish slave or servant or something like that in your house was impossible. They made accommodations to cases of absolute necessity where you had these Christian girls who you had to keep, so you had one of those cases, and you also had the question of the slave trade where these people were not kept for any length of time. But the norm certainly was similar to the norm the way it had always been, namely that the ideal was that you had slaves became part of your household and became converted to be partially Jewish the way an Eved was. However, when we look at the Rif, we see that the circumstances have changed.
What's his date of birth?
The Rif, what is the date? 11th century, 10th century, thereabouts. Exact dates I don't remember.
Before Rambam.
Yeah, it was two generations before the Rambam. She'ela. Reuven kana shivcha adomit. I assume that means Christian, and I assume he's writing in Muslim country. Umatza'a ne'emenet vahaguna. She's a decent and honest person. Vahayu nechnasim leveito anashim min ha'adomiyim l'sfora. Various, I'm translating adomiyim to mean Christians or Romans. And this girl wanted to socialize with these visiting Christian merchants. And Reuven prevented this. Let me socialize with them. Or with at least one of them, so he can be like my like a husband to me, or mechoroti, or sell me. And Reuven and his wife are attached to this particular maid, and we prefer not to sell her. Yodienu rabenu im yeshlo lahanichal lehityacheri mahem, v'chein im nidatam atama v'echiu muzarimim. Tshuva. Im hashivcha hitna im rabba b'she'et kniyata shelo t'utzimena minimuseha ledat noshe v'Yisrael. If there was a condition at the time of purchase that she does not want to leave her religion, yesh lo min hadin sh'teshahe imo ve'ein alav lamona lehityached im ha'akum v'zulatam aval yesh lamona min ha'yehudim. So here you see again a position which is just straight against the Gemara. He said, all of this discussion that we've been having about 12 months, not 12 months, conditions, not conditions, he's saying that that we don't demand that servants in a Jewish household change their religion. But of course, if she's not Jewish, then you should not allow her to socialize with Jews. Ki ha'shvachot chashuvot etzleinu ki ve'emot she'anu muzarim bahem. ובהם אמרו רבותינו שבו לכם פה עם החמור אמר דומה לחמור צריך שלא תיגע ביין ולא תאמין אותו בבשר ואם לא התנאים לו בשעת קנייתה בכלום אינו רשאוי להשאותה אצלו אלא אם מתייהדה וכן הנידון שלהם ששאלתם אם צריך להיזהר ממנו כי לא הסיר המקום מנידות אלו בבנות ישראל אבל עקום לא. So this is a bit of a pathetic situation, a case full of some pathos, but nevertheless, we see that the situation has already changed. By the time of the Rif, the notion, the classical, the old notion of a Jewish slave, namely that a slave who becomes a member of your household must be converted to Judaism, has now sort of gone by the wayside altogether. It's voluntary. If you purchased somebody who was going to become a slave, then he or she has the option of conversion to be partial to Judaism, but it's no longer a requirement. If she insists on maintaining her own religion, then she maintains her own religion, but then, of course, she can't be trusted as far as household food and various other things are concerned. Of course, already at the time of the Rif, and especially in Spain or North Africa, wherever this particular tshuva was written, the great dependence on actual slaves as opposed to servants has already disappeared. And I think this was the sort of the end of slavery in Europe, of course, until the monstrous activities with the coming with the discovery of the New World and the resumption of slavery in the 17th century, in which very few Jews were involved. I mean, we have the Lopez family in Newport, Lopez and his father-in-law, the Jewish slave traders in the, what was it, in the 18th century or 17th century, I guess. But other than that, relatively few, despite what the blacks may be insisting on. So we see that with the Rif, there's really been a change in the social framework, and the notion of household slave or slavery as a whole, or the slave trade, has basically disappeared from Jewish history and from European history until, as I say, until the 16th of this century, maybe about. So that covers this period. As I said, I think the individual tshuvas are themselves sufficiently fascinating as historical material that they don't require any conceptualization. Other than we see that this notion of voluntarism and forced conversion, at least within this framework of this two-step conversion process from non-Jew to slave and then from slave to Jew, is fraught with some difficulties as far as the at what step is must there be Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Okay, so that was an interesting.
What were they talking about? We'll say about next week.
Okay, now next week there's not going to be a shiur because it's the Harvard vacation, so I'm going to be out of town next week. So the shiur after next will be Yetzer Hashem in 2 weeks, which is the 5th of April. Okay, we'll get back to what I would like to then do is spend one or two shiurim on the modern period, getting back to the consequences of Rav Shlomo Kluger's tshuva. We will study a fascinating debate between Rav Zvi Hirsch Kalischer and Rav Israel Hildesheimer, and then we'll take the subject through various up until Rav Uziya. That may take us one or two shiurim. So the next shiur will be 2 weeks from tonight. Then the